Welcome into another episode of the Maine Celtics Podcast. Your duo joining you, Brendan Glasheen and John Scheinman. Thanks for joining us wherever you get your podcasts. We are, of course, on the Maine Celtics YouTube channel. Also find us on Spotify. Download 5-star ratings and reviews. Greatly appreciated. We're back after a one-week hiatus due to the Thanksgiving holiday. Celtics on the road the last four games, a 1-3 road trip in Mississauga. They picked up a victory over Raptors 905, fell to the Delaware Bluecoats, and then dropped a two-game set down in College Park, just outside of Atlanta, against the College Park Skyhawks, Atlanta Hawks affiliate. So we're joining you the week of December 1st, and we're getting set for another week of games. Be sure to get your tickets right now for Maine Celtics Greensboro Swarm, G League affiliate of the Charlotte Hornets. Celtics are at the Expo Saturday and Sunday, 1 o'clock tip-off, so be sure to get your tickets at MaineCeltics.com. John, a lot of traffic up and down Boston to Portland, considering some of the injuries kicking in for Boston. Some injury management, to be more specific, with 5 games in 7 nights for the big club. That's what happens in the G League. You see your guys leave Maine or wherever your market is and go contribute to the NBA club. So a lot to get to. We'll lead off just how the trip started, which really propelled a big week for Drew Peterson, two-way contract player for the Celtics, came aboard last December on a two-way, was originally with the Miami Heat organization in Sioux Falls. The Celtics gave him a two-way contract. Most of you have heard that spiel by now, but Drew has really blossomed in a two-way role, drops a career-high 33 points in Maine's win over Raptors 905, gets the call to Boston, and he's playing real rotational minutes for the Celtics against a crucial Eastern Conference foe this year, particularly in Cleveland. How about Drew Peterson? That's a pretty good story.
Great story. The funny one is what you said. Coach Mazzulla said Drew, and he thought he was talking about Drew Holiday. Didn't realize he was going to play that much. And Drew Peterson, you know, started the week with a career high 33 points, then gets the call up, plays 25 minutes first, the Cavaliers scoring 8 points, then 26 minutes on Monday versus the Heat. Very impressive. And you mentioned injuries to the big club. Also, player management. Big club's playing 5 games in 7 nights. And Coach Mazzulla called out, complimented the development team, and he expects guys to always be ready. And after the game on Monday, Jaylen Brown, by name, one of the best players in the world, in a post-game interview, called out both J.D. Davidson and Drew Peterson for their expert play and always being ready. And that's high praise. And it's a credit to the Celtics organization, both the parent club in Boston, and credit to Coach Lashbrook and the development team in Portland. That's what it's about if you're Coach Lashbrook. It really makes you feel good. And, you know, his background is in player development. So I'm sure he's disappointed in the 1-3 road trip, but really pleased with his guys developing.
Yeah, there are a lot of real, you know, quotable moments from folks at the NBA level about Maine this past week. You mentioned Jaylen Brown, even Joe Mazzulla having full trust in Tyler Lashbrook. He was the one that really made the case for Tyler to be the head coach of the Maine Celtics in 2024-25, said he was ready for the moment as an assistant coach last year, a second-row guy with Boston. And one thing Joe said that I think is so true, and it's really playing out now these last couple of years, and we've hit on this ad nauseum, but this particular week I think really highlights the symmetry and the back and forth, how there's so many parallels between what we see in Boston and what we see in Maine. And Joe Mazzulla said, I trust what is happening up in Portland is going to carry over, not maybe seamlessly on all nights, because that's a tall task, but it's going to look very similar. And I was telling you this before we got started. I had, you know, football was on Sunday. The Celtics were on one of the TVs while I was out and about, and there's Drew Peterson playing the bulk of the minutes in the second quarter at Cleveland coming off the bench. And the way Drew was moving away from the basketball, just as we would see in Maine when J.D. Davison's at the point, Drew looked good. He made 2 threes on 5 tries. You mentioned it, had 8 points, 4 rebounds. And then the Monday game against Miami was also unique because that's how we started the show. Drew was in the Miami Heat organization. And there's Eric Spoelstra after the game saying, well, look, we want to make, you know, we want to be dream makers. That's what Spoelstra said. We want to be dream makers for these guys. Now, do they want it to be in a Miami Heat uniform for their sake? Yes. And Spoelstra, tongue-in-cheek, said, do we like that it was Boston? We don't love that. We would prefer somewhere else. That speaks to the Celtics-Heat rivalry going on now these last couple of years. But just play on the floor, I thought Drew really fit into what they were doing in competitive, high-leverage situations against a contender in Cleveland. In Miami, for that matter.
We've talked about that noise. In fact, our very first podcast, we talked about these two organizations being actually the elite in player development that pride themselves on being, as you said, that's a good quote from Spo, dream makers. And that came true with Drew Peterson this week. Tremendous week for him, as we chatted about. JD Davidson didn't have a half bad week either on the basketball court. And Brendan, you mentioned Coach Mazzulla's belief in Coach Lashbrook. What a great comeback for them. They had as tough as loss as it gets on two Sundays ago. Tough as loss as it gets, only trailing for 3.5 seconds. Bouncing right back with a win in Toronto the very next game. And Drew Peterson, who missed the shot at the buzzer to tie, coming out with a career high. That's a credit to the team, the organization, and the character. There's a phrase, you know, losing builds character. That's not true. Losing reveals character. So they lost a tough one and had the character to come back and really get it done. And that's what the D-League's about, and that's what Coach Lashbrook's about. And I just encourage everybody listening to the podcast, if you can, make every effort to get to the Expo to watch some really exciting basketball and future NBA stars.
Yeah, I think, it speaks to, like, you know, Baylor Shireman's on record about this. He didn't look at, and Jordan Walsh said the same thing last year. They don't look at going to the G League as a demotion, especially when you're in a good organization that wants to carve out a path for you, especially guys like Walsh being a second-round pick, signed to an NBA deal last year, Shireman a first-round pick, NBA deal. They are trying to pave the way, carve out a lane in which they can succeed in their role for what is a championship-made roster. So it's really difficult to crack a spot in a rotation when the priority is to win as many games as you can in the regular season and set yourself up for a playoff run. And we saw that last year. And with, you know, you mentioned Jaylen Brown. He's one of the highest-paid players in the game, well-deserved. When you've got guys making a lot of money at the top of your roster, how do you fit in the rest of the pieces? We're seeing Hauser and Cornette really thrive in those roles. Jaylen Brown, you mentioned his name. He's had a lot of nice things to say about Cornette. He's a locker room guy. Everyone loves Luke. But those guys are role models. And Derek White in Austin with the Spurs is a testament to this. They have really, they've got this thing down pat. So while it wasn't a great trip wins and loss wise for the main Celtics, seeing how the two ways, the assignment guys over the last handful of years have contributed to winning games, really cool to see. So that's the Mississauga win for Maine. They go to 9:05, day before Thanksgiving. They get the victory. Peterson, career high, gets the call up to Boston. Excellent stuff. J.D. Davison still doing his thing, had 18-9, and the Raptors win. Goes for 34-8-5, points, rebounds, assists, and the Delaware loss. I felt, you know, Delaware is a team that's another one. You know, Philly's got some issues right now with some injuries for their star guys, but Delaware off to a slower start in their showcase run, their tip-off tournament schedule to this point. Delaware, I felt, was kind of bound for a win, and those teams have had some battles here early in the season. Let's get to College Park, which is where we leave off this trip, and the Celtics, as I mentioned, are heading home this week, Saturday, Sunday, 1 o'clock tips at the Expo. Be sure to get your tickets at MaineCeltics.com. Really shorthanded against College Park. And a game in which, though, I think, John, from these two games against College Park on the road, we're recording on Wednesday afternoon, so we just saw the morning game finish up. The Celtics had a great second half, a great fourth quarter today, and even with no Davison on Monday and not having Peterson on the wing, Shireman on the wing, I thought defensively the Celtics still brought it, especially in the second halves of both of these games.
Agreed. I mean, how about Anton Watson? Mm-hmm. Career high 16 points. He, two-way player, benefited by the minutes, and his confidence just continues to grow. We saw the way he finished the Westchester game with an exclamation point slam. I love his game and his potential. Can guard five spots, passer, great hands. That's the benefit of the call-ups on Monday, that he got significant minutes and made an impact. as well as Tristan Aruna with 17 and 6, him coming back from playing FIBA basketball for his home country, and Don Carey also getting 16 points on Monday. And, you know, we talked about today just being the slow start, but really getting after it defensively. And nothing J.D. Davidson does surprises me. Just a routine 46 on a Wednesday morning.
And they needed every point, right, in the game today, right? Yes. That's for sure, to hang in that game, and they came back. Celtics outscored the Skyhawks 31-21 in the fourth quarter. Yeah, the starts are something we have to keep an eye on going forward. We've talked to Coach Lashbrook about that, something they are still trying to tinker with and figure out how to best utilize their first quarter minutes and just, you know, dial in quicker. And today's not easy when you play at 11 o'clock in the morning with a bunch of students in the building from the elementary school making a bunch of noise. But that's the nature of the beast when it comes to these camp day games. Bigger picture, before we send it to our guest, you're going to sit down with Tristan and Aruna, someone you've come across now a few times away from Maine. I'm sure you guys will jump into that when you guys chat. But you mentioned Anton Watson, and you mentioned the career high. As a stretch big, he's being asked, not that he's not capable, his three-point percentage at Gonzaga went up each of his 5 years there, won a lot of games under Mark Few. He also had the benefit at Gonzaga, when you watch the WCC and then watching Gonzaga go up against the other top teams in the country at the college basketball level. Anton, though, over the 5 years, there was always another big to kind of allow Anton to get spacing on the floor, right, as a four, stretch four guy. Now, looking at Boston, Al Horford getting older, Porzingis in and out of the lineup. That's a spot from a Celtics fan perspective. And as a fan growing up watching the team, the importance of that spot on the floor for spacing, shooting, high percentage shots, that's a big role that the Celtics are going to eventually have to fill at the NBA level. That's why the Anton Watson pick made a lot of sense to me when they took him in the second round in this recent NBA draft. He went 4-for-9 one game ago against College Park. The three-point shot is starting to go down. When you don't have a couple of your two-ways, like JD and Peterson, you're going to get more opportunities to shoot the ball. This was a big week, I think, for Anton. Just because the organization, not necessarily this year or next year, there's a path for Anton Watson to be an NBA impact guy in Boston, because that role eventually will have to be filled.
Agreed. Couldn't agree with you more. And he continues to improve every time on the floor. He improved, as you mentioned, his three-point shooting percentage at Gonzaga. That's one reason the Celtics drafted him, high-character guy. And mind you, the three-point line, he's still adjusting. It's a little bit further out. Somebody like Shireman, it doesn't matter because he shoots from the locker room. And, you know, they put the heave rule in just for him. But somebody like Watson just continue to grow. You and I have watched it every time out, getting better and better. And mind you, at Gonzaga, he's the second leading all-time assist person. Some guy named John Stockton's the first, so that's pretty high company.
Steals.
Thank you for correcting me. Yeah. Steals. That he can play is my point.
Yes, that's for sure. And I think Watson, with time, again, being a five-year college player, there's maturity, a trend in this recent draft. Shireman, a five-year college player as well. Celtics trying to find, you know, Sam Hauser was a five-year college player, last stop Virginia. So they're trying to, you know, Jordan Walsh, 1 year, J.D. Davison, 1 year, and then we're seeing the complete reverse of that, some five-year college players in the draft recently for the Celtics. So keep an eye on Anton Watson. We will keep our eyes on him, but there's a path for Anton Watson, I think, at the NBA level. Whether it's Boston, I think Boston would have a fit for him down the road, but a very important role, I think, that we have to keep an eye on here, especially when guys are in Boston, such as Drew Peterson or J.D. Davison. More shots, more opportunities to score and shoot and get shots up. Very important. Some of those other names you mentioned that had bigger roles because of those absences: Don Carey, 12 points a game over his last four. Jordan Shackle in two of the four games on the road, 19 points. Shackle's a key part to what they do, shooting the ball, and he gets to open spots, whether it's Davison at the point, Gaines, London Johnson. Shackle's going to continue to get looks. Tristan Anaruna coming back from his stop at Eurobasket, missed one weekend on the trip, 14 points a night, 48%. Even there are lineups in that Wednesday morning game at College Park where he was asked to play the four and Watson was playing the five. Skopinsev was in some foul trouble, so that's something else. So Anaruna also has an opportunity here to display what he can do. His versatility, I think, is important for this team as well.
Agreed, Brendan. He's future is bright for that young man. And Hassan Ward getting key minutes. You know, Drew Peterson, he's 25 years of age. Celtics have some mature guys. The future is very bright for them. And you mentioned the depth of their draft picks as well.
Okay, so without further ado, we'll have John sit down with Tristan and Aruna, our guest this week on the Main Celtics podcast. We'll come right back and discuss the upcoming series with Greensboro. Here's Tristan and Aruna.
Welcome, Tristan and Aruna, to the podcast. Happy to get you on the podcast. I think you're a phenomenal player and even a better young man, so I'm sure the people will enjoy learning a little bit about you. First question.
That.
You're welcome. How do you like Maine so far? Talk to us about the great Pine Tree State.
I like it. You know, I didn't know what to expect. I knew it was a lot of nature, a lot of beautiful nature. I also knew there wasn't a whole lot in terms of, you know, what you're maybe used to. You know, I've lived in Cleveland like the last 2 years, so it's a little different. But I think Portland is actually like bigger than I thought it would be. It's actually like, you know, you actually get like a little city feel. I even get a little like European vibe from it too in some areas. So it's been great. You know, the people have been great. The weather is getting colder now, so you know we gotta prepare ourselves for that. But you know, I've been liking it so far.
That's great. Very underrated European vibe. It's very intelligent of you. In fact, the high school has over 20 languages spoken at it. Just to,
oh, for
to, yeah, tune you into the to local vibe here in Portland.
Yeah.
A true great American city and one of my favorites. So for you, let's go back to where it all started, back in the Netherlands. You played junior basketball for your hometown team, the Pioneers, and then went on to play for Apollo in Amsterdam, and as a youngster, 16, made your pro debut. That's pretty cool. How do you think that experience prepared you to play Division I college basketball?
I think good. You know, I think that it was good for me to leave at an early age because of, you know, like the level of competition back in the Netherlands wasn't as great. So while I was doing, you know, really good, I wasn't being challenged very much, on a regular basis. So, that's, you know, a reason why I left, at 16. But, you know, I think just the people that I've met there, like I've met, you know, a lot of coaches there that, you know, I still talk to today, that kind of saw my talent early on before I even, you know, realized that you know, I was good at basketball and that I could, you know, actually do something with it. And I think them putting that in my head kind of changed the way I went about it, changed the way I looked at, you know, practice, at taking care of myself, you know, and just the overall picture of me as a basketball player. And I think that mentality kind of carried me through, you know, this whole journey. Obviously, you know, mom been a super big supporter. So, you know, just being, just having her around, brother, father, you know, same goes for them. But, you know, I think just coming from a place where basketball isn't, you know, the big thing that you see all the time. It's really, you know, soccer there. Just kind of motivated me more to you know, to go on and make it big because, you know, I kind of wanted to show people back home that it's possible to do that within basketball. So, you know, I think just having that mentality and then coming out to the States, you know, having that support system, you know, that was all, you know, those were all great things for me.
That's awesome. You gave credit to a lot of people. You were obviously
it's probably more, but I can't name them all.
No, that's wonderful. You obviously haven't met your mom, but you were the little bit I know of you. You were raised right, so credit to her. So, moving on from, you came to the United States, played some big time college basketball at Kansas, Iowa State, and then Cleveland State, and you really flourished at Cleveland State. Talk to us a little bit about your growth during your college experiences. You know, you called it a journey. On the air, I say nowadays everybody has a basketball odyssey, same thing, just generic speak. So talk about your journey here in the United States at you know, the Big 12 and then at Cleveland State?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. It wasn't always as fun, but it was good for me as a, you know, to develop because, you know, like I said earlier, coming from the Netherlands, competition wasn't great, so I wasn't always challenged. Now that I got to the States, it was, you know, by the time I got to the States, I was, you know, up in the rankings in, like, Europe, and everybody was talking about, like, my potential. And, you know, coming here was, like, the first time that I really got put to the test, you know, because now all of a sudden, like, you know, I'm playing against guys that are, you know, the same height, that got the same athleticism, you know, that are just as good or even better than me, you know. So it was the first time that I kind of saw that, and it was tough because, you know, I came with the expectation almost that it's like the way that you got treated in Europe is the same way that you're going to get treated over here. But in reality, like, the Americans did not care at all about what I did, like, in Europe, you know. So that was challenging, but I think it matured me. And I've kind of gone through that process throughout, like, high school. My, you know, I finished junior and senior year in high school here in the States. And then going on to college, like, throughout my whole college career, I kind of faced, like, the same things, you know. So meaning that people knew that I had potential and that I had talent, but there were always, like, doubts about certain things, you know. There were always doubts about, like, my aggressiveness, you know, my toughness, you know, basically if I had it in me to kind of break through that. And, you know, going to Kansas was a really good experience for me, you know, playing with, like, a lot of great players, obviously, you know, great coach that I learned a lot from. And just about, like, the importance of working, the importance of being patient, and but also how, like, you know, high-level basketball works. Because, you know, not everybody necessarily is going to have, you know, the same amount of fun, you know, to put it like that, because you gotta learn how to play a role, you know, which is not always, you know, fun. It's not always what you want to do. And I think both Kansas and Iowa State both taught me that, you know, that sometimes you're going to be in a situation where you have to play a role, and you gotta be good with that. And I don't think I was always good with that. I think mentally it challenged me. But like I said, good support system. So I had people that kind of talked me through it. You know, my assistant coach at Iowa State, who became my head coach at Cleveland State, actually, you know, he was one of those people. He always took me into his office, always talked to me, you know, because he saw what I could do. And he also saw that I wasn't in that system, wasn't able to do that. And he saw how that affected me. So, you know, he took a lot of time out of his hands to kind of guide me through that. And I gained a lot of respect for him because of that, you know, and that's also part of the reason why, you know, I ended up at Cleveland State. And kind of with all those things that I've learned throughout those 3 years, I was able to kind of, you know, because I kind of fell from the top towards the bottom going to Cleveland State, and then, you know, gradually kind of clawed my way back up. And, you know, I was able to do that with all the things that I learned at Kansas and Iowa State. You know, kind of it made me tougher. It made me more mature. I just knew how important it was to have the mentality of just putting your head down and kind of just work, you know, and don't worry about like where you're at right now. But, you know, look at the big picture. You know, look at the big picture. Wake up every day as if you're behind in the race. You know, so those things definitely helped me out.
That's awesome. I'm sure Coach Robinson appreciates the shout out, and obviously the impact of a coach and your growth on and off the court. It's a credit to him and credit to you for recognizing that. So speaking of some guys you've played with and against, you've certainly played with some talented players since you've been in the United States. Are you still connected to any of those guys? And I know we're going to see one probably this weekend for a very good Greensboro team in Marcus Garrett.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I mean, we're, you know, nowadays with social media and stuff, it's hard to not to be, you know, but, you know, I keep tabs on everybody a little bit. You know, kind of, it's cool to know, to see, you know, because those were guys that were, you know, when I was playing with them, those were guys that were like the upperclassmen, you know, they were, the vets on the team. So, you know, I was always looking up to them. I was always trying to take information from them, you know, and now kind of, you know, running into them again at this level is great. You know, it's super fun. So, you know, I try to, you know, kind of keep connected with everybody as much as I can. Got a couple Dutch guys in there as well now, you know, that I've known since, you know, childhood. So it's fun.
Well, I've said this on the air, and I truly believe this, watching the evolution of basketball in my life. It's truly now the international global game. Look at your team on the Celtics, look at your college, you know, guys from all over the world, all different shapes and sizes. It's just, the world could learn a lot from our great sport of basketball. And I truly believe in you just, thank you. You just said that. So let's fast forward a little bit to the summer. You joined the Celtics organization, one of the best organizations in professional sports, played in the NBA Summer League. What experiences with this organization do you like so far, and how do you like playing in this fast-paced system?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. You know, I think I've always, like, since I was very young, I've liked to go up and down. I've liked to kind of play like a freestyle type of basketball, you know, just make plays and play off of your teammates, you know, rather than just, you know, writing up something every single time you come down the court. So, you know, I really love it. I think it brings out some really good qualities in me as a player, and helps me be effective for my team. But, you know, I think just being in this organization is just amazing. You know, obviously, like, the experience I've had this summer to go to Summer League and to do training camp, you know, with the Celtics. You know, I think I was only there for a month, but I learned, like, so much about this next level, about the speed of the game, you know, the physicality, but also just the little things, like seeing how, you know, the superstars go to work, you know, see how they, you know, spend their time on the court to get better. Being with Coach Joe and all the assistant coaches, you know, it's just so much information that you can take in. So I was really grateful to be there. And I think it also helped me to kind of, you know, take some of that with me into, you know, into Maine and kind of put that to work right now. So, and then the other thing I really like about this organization is that it's just like, I feel like everybody really likes each other. You know, everybody is genuine. Everybody wants to see each other do well. They take care of you. That's not something you get everywhere, especially, you know, especially in a place where there's so much, you know, success. But, you know, like I said, like, I felt like I was really part of the team while, you know, I was just there for training camp, you know, if you know what I'm saying. So, yeah, I really love that about this organization. And I can tell it's no different here in Maine.
That's good stuff. And Coach Mazzulla actually complimented on Monday the development in the team, and he expects everybody to always be ready. You know, Drew and JD have had success up there, even this week for the Celtics. That's good stuff. So I, on the air, have spoken about how I think you have great potential, and I mean it as a compliment. And, you know, your ability to shoot the three, your length, you love to compete, you appreciate your gifts and want to improve. If there's one thing that you personally would focus on developing your game, what would that be?
I think getting more consistent from three. I think that's a big thing. I think that's one of the only things in basketball that for some reason does not come natural to me. You know, I really have to, you know, practice that and to get some out of it. So, you know, I think just getting more consistent from three, and then, you know, because it's so, the way we play, it's so spaced out, and everybody knows how to find you, you know. So I'm open a lot of times on the perimeter. So just got to be able to knock those down consistently. And then also, you know, just being vocal. That's a big thing at this level, is just talk all the time. I just want to make that a habit as well.
So we'll get you out on this one. After coming back from FIBA, you're seeing an increased role in Maine. You're averaging 13.8 points a game and 5.5 boards and shooting an impressive 48% from the field. What do you think has led to your increased production on the team?
You know, I think just I think the way that our rotations have been going, I think obviously, you know, there's guys get caught up, so that automatically opens up some more space. You know, I think I've had, before I left the two games against Westchester, I did a pretty good job, and I think showed the coaching staff that, you know, that I could bring value to the team, and you know, I think they've taken trust in that, and they've been trying to build on that. You know, they've told me before the season even started that they got high expectations of me for the season. You know, so I think just being able to come in and being productive in the time that I've been given has given them the trust to, you know, put me in more, and I've been able to capitalize off of that. So, you know, just trying to keep being aggressive, trying to keep doing what I'm good at, and what I can do to help this team win.
Good stuff. I hope everybody listening gets out to the Expo this weekend to see you compete two games against the Greensboro Swarm. And great getting to know you a little bit better. Thank you so much for the time.
No problem. Thank you, man.
Okay, good stuff from Coach, as well as Tristan and Aruna. Looking forward to watching him at the Expo this Saturday and Sunday. Folks, both games are live, 1 o'clock. Be sure to get out to the Expo if you can. Tickets at mainceltics.com. Both games are also broadcast live on NBC Sports Boston, home of the Celtics. It's a loaded Celtics weekend. You got Boston-Milwaukee Friday night, national TV. Saturday, Maine Celtics, 1 o'clock against Greensboro. Saturday night, Boston will play Memphis. I think we'll see Marcus Smart actually in uniform for the first time. When they played the Grizzlies last year, Smart was injured. So Marcus Smart return game Saturday night, 8 o'clock tip at TD Garden. And then Sunday afternoon, we wrap it up. Celtics and Greensboro Swarm, 1 o'clock. Again, both games on NBC Sports Boston live this coming weekend. So Greensboro coming into this game, they've got a morning game Thursday. We're recording on a Wednesday. So regardless, if they win the game or lose the game, they're very good, John. They are 8-1 right now, and they've got some new pieces working in. Isaiah Wong, who was in Fort Wayne last year, started the season this year with Utah with the Salt Lake City squad. Just signed to a two-way, really good player, was at the Up Next game, which is the G League version of the All-Star game last year for the local club in Indianapolis with the Fort Wayne Mad Ants. This is a talented basketball team. A lot of wings. Who knows who we'll have with Maine. We're not sure yet, given Boston's situation, 5 games in 7 nights. But just looking at Greensboro on paper, they bring back 4 or 5 guys from last year's team. Jalen Sims is a name that stands out, 19 points a game. Reggie Perry, the big man's having a good year, 6'8", big guy, played in the NBA for a bit with the Nets, Blazers, Pacers, and then Keontae Johnson's a name if you look at the program. Keontae Johnson was on the Oklahoma City Blue last year when Maine played OKC in the finals, and that team was also loaded. All these teams are good, if we're really being honest, but guard play, good starts, as we know from the Maine side of things, but guarding the perimeter will be important this weekend.
Guard play has been amazing in the G League. Every team we've seen so far, and the Swarm, they're no different. They're going to bring it. And, you know, as you mentioned, we're recording on a Wednesday. They play tomorrow. They're either going to come in winning 8, they're either come in winning 9 in a row or 8 of their last 9. Either one, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, their only loss was opening night to Capital City. So they've rebounded nicely. They're third in the league in rebounding. So that's a fascinating facet of the games this weekend. Maine has been a very good offensive rebounding team, second chance rebounding team. So shot making, of course, matters. Like, the ball's got to go in the net, and the Celtics were held to 42% on Wednesday morning game, wrapping up a trip. You're without some guys. So, I'm going to bring it up again. A good start would be helpful here, right? Making shots early, because if you make shots, and you can't rebound the ball, and that would help against the third best rebounding team in the league.
And subliminally, you know, you see the ball going in that, you just feel better and you feel good, and you don't second guess yourself. So you miss your first one, it's no big deal. You miss your second or third one, even how hard you try not to think about it. You know, what am I doing wrong? Is it my release? Is it this? Coach is like, oh, you're doing great. Keep shooting. And that's what coaches have. So it's important to knock down a few early for your confidence. And looking forward to really a fantastic weekend of basketball.
Yeah, Greensboro's got seven guys from their most recent game. Again, they're playing Thursday morning. They played 9:05. Who's off to a slow start in tip-off tournament play. They're in the basement of the East Pod right now. It's seven guys in double figures. Trent Brown Jr. is another guy who they've had since last year. MJ Walker at the guard, 6'5". Walker, formerly of Florida State, played it with the Westchester Knicks. So they've got some guys that have been in and around the Eastern Conference as it pertains to the G League. And then, you know, of course, something we didn't mention off the top, but Maine's had a couple of guys banged up as well. And Jay Scrubb, Ron Harper Jr., both guys had season-ending injuries early in the year. Last year with Scrubb, it was in October during camp with the ACL, trying to come back from that. Harper had the shoulder. But just like we kind of figured going into the year, as talented as those two players are, former two-way contract players, there was going to be a little bit of a building up process for both of them. And then, of course, with Boston nabbing guys like JD and Drew Peterson and Baylor Shireman, who we've seen quite a bit early part of the year on assignment. I think we're in for another up-and-down natured game. Isaiah Wong was really good last year with Fort Wayne. When the Mad Ants came to the Expo, Wong had a great career at Miami, head of the snake kind of player, had a quiet game one, but these two-game series, I've hit on this with you a bunch, when you play these two-game series, in this case, it will be back-to-back days at 1 o'clock. Wong and how Wong factors into what they're doing, you're only adding Isaiah Wong to an 8-1 basketball team. I think that's only going to help you.
As we mentioned off podcast, he's a phenomenal player, high IQ guy, referring to Isaiah Wong, played 4 years of college at the same college. Doesn't happen a lot nowadays. It's just a credit to him. And I'm looking forward to watching him play on TV. Won't be you and Ashley broadcasting the game this weekend. Should be really fun in the Expo.
Yeah, and haven't even mentioned their two ways. KJ Simpson, he's been with Charlotte. Diabite's been with Charlotte because they're going through some stuff right now as well. So that's the nature of the beast. We'll find out, just like most of you will, at the end of the week, who's in the lineup, who isn't, for both Maine and Greensboro. But yeah, Johnson, Joel Soriano, Battle, they've got some guys there that have been in big games and high priorities in organizations. So just to get it completely right, so third in the league in rebounding, Greensboro also sixth in the league in offensive rebounding. And they get, so we hit on this quite a bit with Capital City, the most recent homestand. This team, while more guard heavy, they get to the free throw line a bunch, second in the G League in free throws made and attempted. So discipline defensively will be important.
And you see, when you don't have discipline defensively, you get creative, as we saw reversed in the Knicks series when the Maine Celtics were plagued by foul trouble. And, you know, Serrano, he's tough around the basket, boy. I remember watching him play in college at St. John's. He could play.
Yeah, so this will be another big test. And, of course, the Celtics could use a win. They've lost three in a row, trying to keep their hopes alive. It's going to be tough, but keep their hopes alive for the winter showcase to get into the tournament, the tip-off tournament down in Orlando. So the Celtics are looking for victories on Saturday and Sunday back at home. You've got four more chances left in 2024 to come watch the Celtics. These two games against Greensboro, they wrap the tip-off tournament portion of the season on the 15th against Raptors 9:05, and then New Year's Eve, they start, well, the regular season starts after the showcase. That's way down the road. Texas comes for a matinee game on New Year's Eve at the end of December. John, as he mentioned, is out this weekend. Ashley Battle, assistant general manager, Celtics scout. We've worked together plenty with the Connecticut Sun, so Ashley and I reunite. We'll be with you on Saturday and Sunday. John, you have a fantastic weekend, and look forward to talking again soon.
You too, Brendan. Looking forward to watching you live this weekend.
Okay. Very good. Thanks for tuning in, folks, to the Maine Celtics podcast. Thanks to our guest, Tristan Anaruna, for John Scheinman. Brendan Glasheen, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again next time.